Welcome back. It's a Monday, the 25th day of July, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Gall. And let's start off today with a look back over the weekend and some anniversaries that seem particularly apropos. First, and this didn't get much notice at all, no surprise, what's called the BIRD, the British Ivermectin Recommendation Development Group, had declared Saturday, July 23rd, to be World Ivermectin Day in order to celebrate the life-saving properties of a drug that has been pretty much deep-sixed because it works a hell of a lot better than injecting people with the poison poke. It was World Ivermectin Day, the second annual, as it turns out. And among other things, they published a timeline showing the effectiveness and some of the recent history of what's clearly nothing short of a miracle drug. For example, in early April of 2020, various regional health ministries in far more enlightened countries than Big Brother Britain and the I Am the Science guinea pig playground of America's Dr. Mengele, authorities within places like Peru, Brazil, and Paraguay initiated what was called ivermectin distribution campaigns to their citizen populations to great effect. Early on, by November of 2020, Dr. Pierre Corey, ICU consultant, had testified to the U.S. Senate saying that ivermectin should be used for the treatment of COVID-19, and the earlier the better. Infamously, on the 20th of February, 2021, the Federal Death Agency came out and, echoing those who would prefer to have people dead rather than cured, claimed that ivermectin was a dangerous horse medicine. I'm sure you remember that. Study after study after study after study has shown that they were lying, and moreover, the reason why is glaringly obvious. In the presence of a widely available, extremely effective, almost side effect free miracle drug, and while ivermectin may have been among the best, it wasn't even alone in that regard, that really was safe and effective as a treatment against COVID-19, and of course, beats the living you know what out of injecting people with Cyclone B. There would have been no justification, and they were jonesing for it bad, and obviously willing to kill to keep it covered up, for the emergency use authorization, much less the mandated injection of hundreds of millions of human guinea pigs. The timeline shows that the 15th of October 2021 was the date when Robert F. Kennedy's incredible tour de force and Big Pharma expose called The Real Anthony Fauci got published, detailing the corruption of what was once called science. And as of this year's World Ivermectin Day, on the 23rd of July, 2022, they note that ivermectin is currently used for about 27% of the world's population. And while the majority of higher income countries with high vaccination rates, sick, are suffering recurring increases of COVID-19 infections and, of course, hospitalizations, not to mention deaths, folks, from a whole lot of related and even apparently, but not really, unrelated things, lower-income countries with low vaccination rates, which implement routine mass prophylactic and early treatment drug administration, including ivermectin, have significantly lower overall infection rates. Here comes a quick biased admission from your host. Not like I haven't made it before. I was one of about 300 million plus Americans who was lied to about ivermectin by the Federal Death Agencies and Center for Death and Control. I even had some veterinary ivermectin on hand in case we ever needed it for our animals. But what I really didn't have was some of the information that's now widely available, and trust me, I've since taken the time to search out, but it was being massively covered up and, yes, lied about over a year ago in May when I was hospitalized and almost died. And no doubt about it, folks, I give credit where it's due. It was clearly Yahuwah that saved me and not so-called modern medicine. I certainly do appreciate people's prayers and the availability of oxygen nowadays, too, though. But the real point is, had I known then what I know now, I would have not hesitated to take veterinary ivermectin rather than the alternative of no ivermectin at all, as opposed to what was done instead. And any risk there paled in comparison to those that I was subjected to in a hospital setting. On to another interesting anniversary. 1 year ago, late last week, in what was called More Than a Bit Ironic by John Nolte of Breitbart, to the day even, the Marionette-in-Chief, this time wearing his Pretend I'm a Doctor 2 mask, came right out and assured gullible Americans that the vaccinated could not get the coronavirus.
One last thing that's really important is we're not in a position where we think that any virus, including the Delta virus, which is much more transmissible and more deadly in terms of unvaccinated people, the various shots that people are getting now cover that. You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the yes man there is the criminally negligent moderator for the Criminal News Network, Don Lemon. Anyway, 1 year to the day later, July 21, 2022, the White House, or what now passes for it, announced that the allegedly at least double Zyklon B injected and double boosted Senile One himself, creepy quid pro Joe Biden, has the Booga Booga Fauci bioweapon-based flu. Were they lying then? Are they lying now? Odds are all of the above, but it is an amazing coincidence, and as some have since suggested, downright fortuitous. If the real goal here is to get rid of the guy that should have never been installed in the first place, and just maybe use his shocking passing as an excuse for reinstituting, well, you can guess, all of the hair of the dog. All the things that destroyed the American economy first time around, and this time, they're sure will put a wooden stake in what's left of it. Now, here, your host has to admit, when I first heard that kind of speculation, I thought, that's a little over the top. After all, wouldn't it be embarrassing to the swamp to have the very guy who said, you won't get it, and then got it 1 year to the day after making that idiotic claim, be proven to be literally so deadly in error? And then I realized, well, come on. This is a guy that closed the Keystone Pipeline on day one and then blamed Putin for what he did to gas prices. This is the so-called commander-in-chief responsible for arguably the biggest military blunder and international embarrassment in the history of this country. He didn't resign, but he's gone on to destroy the military, to paraphrase the evil Chucky Schumer, six ways to Sunday. He talks about protecting Ukraine, and he sends them all the weapons that were supposed to be used to defend us, while literally inviting an invasion across the southern border. And now he's basically telling Russia, I double-dog dare you. Go ahead, nuke us. Ha ha. So maybe the swamp critters are right. There really is nothing too stupid for the American people not to swallow hook, line, and sinker. Because one thing's for sure, the Waystream Press did make a really big deal about the number two vaccine pusher in the country having come down with COVID. And oh yeah, don't forget, the multi-vaxxed and boosted, or so we're told, Dr. Mengele even got it too. I guess, really, if there's a message here, it's be afraid, be very afraid. No matter how many pokes you take, it's probably still never going to be enough. Here's one from Steve Kirsch, very much related, quoting a story from Trillium Health Partners out of Mississauga, Ontario, Canada, concerning the deaths of not one, not two, but three young physicians, all of whom seem to have been multi-vaxxed. And I hope you're sitting down for this one, folks. All of whom died suddenly and consecutively. Three of the physicians at Mississauga hospitals have died. The first on Monday, the second Tuesday, the third Thursday. The cause of death wasn't shared in a memo. You can guess why. But how many times have you seen three doctors at one hospital die in 1 week, just days after that same hospital started administering the fourth shot to their staff? This in addition, notes the piece, to the physician who worked at North York General who died this week while out running. How many coincidences will people keep continuing to accept? Here's another story your host is going to call related. I'm going to give this one all of about 15 seconds. It does come from the Gateway Pundit, though, and it's entitled, under the subheading, Play Stupid Games, Win Stupid Prizes, and it concerns a so-called public health expert and director of, oh, guess what, George Soros' Open Society Foundation, who proudly told The Guardian how he'd had sex with several men during NYC Pride festivities, whereupon he proceeded to blame the government for his having contracted both monkeypox and gonorrhea. They didn't have enough testing capacity, you see. Some of us might suggest he seems to be lacking in brain capacity. Just maybe folks are going to have to start adding to their acronym again, LGBTQ, monkeypox, syphilis, gonorrhea, plus plus. In Michigan, News Channel 3 has published the results of the Republican primary election. Trouble is, maybe they got an early feed from Dominion, the primary election isn't scheduled until next week. Oops. And hey, I bet you'll never guess who won in two different races, big time even. The Rhino and the Never Trumper. Here's a follow-up on a story that came out of the Broken Rule of Law in Soviet America late last week. It took no time at all for that federal jury, sick, in the District of Criminal Swamp to find former Trump advisor Steve Bannon guilty on both charges of contempt of Congress. Well, hey, folks, on that score, I guess all of us should be guilty. If you don't have contempt for Congress at this point, it's probably because you're not paying attention. After he refused to comply with a subpoena from the new House Committee of Un-American Affairs, trying to slam dunk the January 6th coup down the throat of the American people. In his closing statements, Steve Bannon's attorney, M. Evren Corcoran, suggested that the J6 committee was illegitimate, do you think? And, how about a real shocker, politically motivated. And it's hard to argue otherwise when egregious examples abound, including the former Attorney General for the disgustingly evil Barry Sabarco, Barry Sotero, the man with more aliases than even the guy who didn't actually win the presidency, and one of the most disreputable Attorney Generals in history, and that's saying a lot, Mr. Fast and Furious Eric Holder, who, like Bannon, but he got away with it, ignored a congressional subpoena of documents related to the infamous Fast and Furious scandal. But it was former presidential candidate who didn't get the nod from the Socialist Democrats because she's obviously too honest, Tulsi Gabbard, who weighed in over the weekend and had this to say.
No matter what you think or feel about Steve Bannon, the fact that he has been found guilty of contempt of Congress, yet others have faced no consequences at all, people like James Clapper, for example, sat before the U.S. Senate under oath and lied directly about an NSA program that was conducting mass collection on millions of Americans. Or John Brennan, for example, as CIA director, he spied on Senate staffers, lied about it, and also broke into Senate computers to read emails from whistleblowers to members of Congress. Now, both Clapper and Brennan kept their jobs and to this day still have faced no consequences at all, what to speak of being charged and prosecuted and found guilty of the crimes that they committed.
And she doesn't mention it, the list goes on and on, but certainly at the top of that list, as has already been noted, has to be Mr. Fast and Furious himself, Eric Holder, who was held in contempt of Congress, and they didn't do anything about that either. Certainly no fine, no jail time, not even media humiliation. But he did get a really cushy golden parachute.
Now, this is just the latest example, unfortunately, of how our Department of Justice has become a political weapon being used by those in power to go after their political enemies.
Which, if you remember the title that Mr. Fast and Furious held, explains very clearly why it was he managed to skate. Well, since I've been spending some time talking about anniversaries today, I want to go back into the Wayback Machine and look at almost exactly a little more than 1 year ago today, July 15th, 2021. So, at a minimum, among other things, it's not like we haven't seen this coming. Next, I want to spend a few more minutes today on a story that I think really exemplifies not just the level of fraud, but the attempt to deceive and destroy America and Americans en masse. And much of this kind of summarizes events that we've been talking about and working up to now for quite some time, especially when it comes to the covering up of any actual alternatives to Americans being forced to take the poke. Why, you can't very well have an emergency and a warp speed override of all testing policies without some kind of a dire emergency that just wouldn't be that dire if there were easy alternatives available. Now, would you? Things like safe, effective treatments that have been available for a long, long time and are pretty well known to be a hell of a lot less harmful than Zyklon B in your shoulder. And let me introduce this installment of the Yes, They Really Are That Evil segment with the introduction to several pieces, most of them via Natural News and Ethan Huff. Those working on the front lines of the plandemic all last year were indicating from the beginning that early treatment was of utmost importance, and they were recommending things, proven remedies like hydroxychloroquine or HCQ and ivermectin as therapeutic solutions. But the medical deep state was all the while engaged in a global collusion racket with Big Pharma, warns Dr. Peter McCullough, the goal of which was to, quote, cause as much harm and death as conceivable. You see, continues Huff, by encouraging the use of safe, inexpensive, and off-patent drugs, the real doctors trying to save lives were cutting into the profits and eugenic goals of Moderna, Tony Fauci, Bill Gates, and other corrupt globalist entities who'd worked long and hard and for many years to bring about the global plandemic in the first place. It was never about helping people, much less flattening the curve. Remember when it was only going to be 2 weeks instead of 2 years or, oh, maybe now forever? But rather about ratcheting up the tyranny and enslaving the global population with things like mask mandates and now vaccine guidelines that aim to inject a bulk of the planet with experimental mRNA drugs at warp speed, meaning there never was a place in the global New World Order for tried and true, basically safe, long-extant treatments like HCQ or ivermectin. Dr. McCulloch has warned that the entire medical system now seems to be under some kind of mass hypnosis, where most are simply going along with the recommendations of Fauci and Gates without so much as a second thought. Or maybe, folks, they're just too concerned about losing their livelihood, their licenses, and maybe even their lives if they dare to speak up about what they know well is so horribly wrong in the world. Still, though, the ignorance is causing mass disease and death. Somehow, though, it can't be challenged, because to do so would be to embrace what is now referred to as anti-science. Some, though, like Dr. McCulloch, are doing it anyway, potentially at great risk to their careers and livelihoods. Dr. Joseph Mercola, too, is among those that have spoken up. He said perhaps one of the greatest crimes in this whole pandemic is the refusal by reigning health authorities to issue early treatment guidance. Instead, they've done everything possible to suppress remedies shown to work, whether it be corticosteroids, hydroxychloroquine or HCQ with zinc, ivermectin, vitamin D, or NAC, a.k.a. N-acetylcysteine, better known as glutathione. And would you believe that the satanically evil Food and Drug Administration is now even trying to ban that? Says Huff, instead of trying to help people with this simple, natural, easily accessible, natural remedy, the FDA is trying to erase it from existence and encouraging people to rush out and get jabbed with the Mark of the Beast abominations that are both unsafe and ineffective and, by the way, also irreversible. And let me interject this here, folks, because I've heard any number of people comment that, hey, if the United States government was really serious about protecting people, all they had to do was to go out and say, you know what, get some sunshine. Better still, here's a whole bunch of free doses of vitamin D3 with K2. Take this, and the vaccine not only won't be necessary, you'll forget that there ever even was a plandemic. And by the way, your health will be better overall besides. And the very fact that they explicitly didn't do that tells you that it was never about your health in the first place. Or even, for that matter, good economic sense. Dr. McCulloch says, I'm glad that I always personally treated all my patients, knowing that he has the, well, gravitas to continue to buck the system and do what he knows needs to be done to save lives. Quote, I wasn't going to have a virus slaughter one of my senior citizens. And it is, I think, terrible that none of our major academic institutions innovated with a single protocol. To my knowledge, not a single major academic medical center as an institution attempted to even treat patients with COVID-19. But because he has publication power, Dr. McCulloch has made considerable strides in getting the truth out despite continued resistance from the establishment. He knows the risks, but he's willing to take them, says Huff, for the benefit of his patients and for society as a whole. Quote, when you look at how comprehensive and intense the censoring and suppression of early treatments were, it's hard to come to any other conclusion than that this was a strategy aimed at securing emergency use authorization, or EUA, for COVID gene therapies, unquote, adds Dr. Mercola. And to emphasize that point, the grossly misnamed so-called UN World Health Organization, SICK, is still pushing death on a platter and saying the exact opposite of the truth. A related piece, also from Ethan Huff, says that a WHO spokesman recently reiterated that agency's position on ivermectin, saying, as a potential treatment for the Wuhan flu, it's, quote, not very promising. They just don't believe there's enough evidence of its efficacy. But imagine this, folks, in spite of the damning evidence to the contrary, when it comes to the mRNA genetic modification injection, they're pushing it right into people's bloodstreams regardless. The WHO decided to repeat this false message, says Huff, after Fox affiliate reporter Ivory Hecker got on TV and announced live on air that doctors are seeing positive results from administering ivermectin to their COVID-positive patients, despite the medical industry, or at least the bought and paid for parts, overarching rejection of its use. Hecker, of course, was lambasted by the establishment for daring to make this claim, even though actual data, and that would have been once called science, folks, suggests that ivermectin is dramatically lowering death rates in clinics where it's being used, including at the United Memorial Medical Center in Houston, where Dr. Joseph Varon works and has given some 1,600 interviews over the past year explaining how ivermectin is doing wonders to help the sick. Still, though, almost every other media outlet is rejecting Dr. Varon's claims, almost as if, and I can't help but think there's a lot of truth in this, they want people to suffer and die, well, especially if it lines the pockets. Without going through the entire list of numbers here, suffice it to say that Dr. Varon has dealt with almost 1,300 hospitalized patients between March of last year and May of this year, is having a far better success rate than the CDC's own allegedly best practices. And as Huff summarizes all of this, even though there's zero evidence to suggest that the so-called vaccines, which really aren't, do anything other than kill people either slowly or right up front, make them infertile, and spread variants to who is actively pushing the injections while downplaying any possible benefits of ivermectin. All of which leads me to this really great conclusion piece, courtesy of Dr. Joseph Mercola, via his website and all those others that are sound enough to pick it up. While the list of crimes, he says, committed by authorities during the COVID-1984 pandemic is a long one, perhaps the biggest crime of all is the purposeful suppression of safe and effective treatments. At this point, it seems quite clear that this was done to protect the COVID jab rollout. Those shots were brought to market under EUA, or Emergency Use Authorization, which can only be obtained if there are no other alternatives available. In a sane world, the COVID gene therapies would never have gotten an EUA, as there are several safe and effective treatment options available. One treatment that stands out above the others, though, is ivermectin, a decades-old antiparasitic drug that is on the World Health Organization's list, well, at least when it comes to anything but the booga-booga flu, of essential medications. But what makes ivermectin particularly useful, says Dr. Mercola, in COVID-19, is the fact that it works both in the initial viral phase of the illness, when antivirals are required, as well as in the inflammatory stage, when the viral load drops off and anti-inflammatories become necessary. It's been shown to significantly inhibit SARS-CoV-2 replication in vitro, speed up viral clearance, and dramatically reduce the risk of death. And speaking just for myself, folks, I can say here that when I needed it and I looked for it, it was very, very hard to get a hold of, well, unless it was at your local veterinary clinic. And in hindsight, honestly, I wish I'd gone and done the math and taken a bunch of the stuff marketed for horses or goats, in spite of the fact that Big Brother says no. Mercola cites several studies in his article, basically making the point about ivermectin. And also notes that when WHO finally updated their guidance on ivermectin at the end of March 2021, they largely rejected it, saying more data is needed. After all, nobody's buying us off like they are for the poke. They only recommended it, he says, for patients who are enrolled in a clinical trial, something that they didn't even need for the poke. Anyway, they still based their negative recommendations on a review that included just 5 studies, but still ended up showing a 72% reduction in deaths. And he went on to debunk their own studies with their own data, noting that they speak from both sides of their mouth when it comes to reductions in deaths and efficacy on one thing as opposed to the other. You want to know why? Well, the WHO refuses to recommend this drug for COVID-19, says a WHO representative named Rabindra Abeyasinghe, because using ivermectin without strong enough evidence is harmful, because it might give, are you ready for this, folks, false confidence to the public. Oh, and what would that mean? Yeah, they might not be willing to bend over and take their dose of Zyklon B right in their veins. Concludes Dr. Mercola, if you've been trying to share the good news about ivermectin, you've undoubtedly noticed that doing so is incredibly difficult because many socialist media companies are simply banning such posts outright. Promoting ivermectin on YouTube or even discussing benefits in public research violates the platform's posting policies. And then he cites some of the victims. Folks, this kind of stuff really ought to infuriate you. I know it certainly infuriates me, because I was one of those who would like to have had it, couldn't get it when I needed it, and the results were, praise Yah, not quite fatal, but had it been up to Big Brother, they would have been. And yeah, we're all still dealing with the after effects. And you can kind of guess why that might just tend to piss your host off. I'm now among those, if I wasn't before, who will not stand silently by while they continue a policy of mass genocide. They're hiding the good stuff, suppressing news about things that actually do make a positive difference, while all the time doing so for an obvious reason. They intend to force people to take the poke. They're going to use it to bring about their mark of the beast. And if it kills a few hundred million or even billion people in the process, well, isn't that just satanically great? so far as they're concerned. There is an agenda here, folks. It's at play. It's not even remotely hidden. And again, folks, that story was recorded just a little over a year ago, July the 15th of 2021. Even then, it was obvious. We've had another year to see just how far those looking to destroy not only America but the world are willing to go, how many they're willing to kill to do it, how obvious it's gotten, and now how much progress they've been making. I got to ask it, how much more is it going to take before people wake up and realize this is for keeps? So make sure you know who you serve, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours. We'll be right back.